Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the classic books, and it's a book that guests recommend continuously when I ask them, is the book Think and Grow Rich. It has had such an impact on so many entrepreneurs who have achieved so much success. And that's why I'm really excited about Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy. It's a new book that today's guest has recently written. He also has helped to produce a film on that same topic as the co-executive producer. And before getting deeply involved with Think and Grow Rich, today's guest made his mark as an entrepreneur with his first bestseller, The Beginner's Guide to Wealth, which Money Magazine named as the top book of the month for March 2010. And since that big splash, he's appeared on over 80 podcasts and radio shows and spoken to audiences of over 2,000 people. That leads us to today, where he is championing Think and Grow Rich for a Modern Age. And today's guest, without any further ado, for episode 184 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than James Whitaker. James, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
James, I'm really happy to have you on. And Think and Grow Rich, I mean, this isn't an exaggeration. It's impacted the lives of millions of people. And if you spread its teachings, maybe even billions, like, it's crazy how much the book has impacted people and how people keep talking about it and how relevant it still is. And I'm wondering, like, I'd like to get some backstory on you. Like, this is a book that you've pursued. Like, you have a film based on it. You've written a book that is based on it. So, like, why did you write Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy, and produce the film?
Well, to take people right back, Think and Grow Rich was originally released in 1937. So it was written by Napoleon Hill on the tail end of the Great Depression and at the start of the Second World War. So it was a really interesting time for the world. And the original Think and Grow Rich referenced people like Andrew Carnegie, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, some of the most successful people who ever lived. But today's generations just don't identify as much with those people. And the book Think and Grow Rich has since gone on to sell 120 million copies, and it still sells so strongly today. It's such a timeless masterpiece for a simple reason: results. It's made more millionaires than any other resource in history. So that means for people who haven't read it, you definitely need to pick it up. But an important thing about anything in the self-help field is you can only bring to it your life experiences to that point. So that's why Bob Proctor has read it every day for 58 years, why Sharon Lecter reads it every year, and why people like Rob Dyrdek read it every few years, because as they get older, they have more life experience and they can naturally apply and know more about what Napoleon Hill is talking about in his book. And I had the opportunity to meet the filmmakers in Santa Monica. So they already had the project underway at that stage. So that was director Scott Servine and the producers Sean Donovan, Karina Donovan, and Joel Franco. And I got really excited about their project, and they could tell that during the meeting. And they said, we loved your energy, and just tell us how you could be involved. And I ended up getting involved as co-executive producer of the film and author of the brand new book. So what we've tried to do with this project is introduce modern day people. We've got people aged from 27 right through to Bob Proctor at the age of, what is he now, I think, 83. So Barbara Corcoran, Grant Cardone, Lewis Howes, Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback. We've got a really eclectic mix of people in this book, and just so excited to and feel so grateful for the opportunity to bring Think and Grow Rich to a new generation.
And I read the book recently, and I do agree, like, I associate more of guys like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and other people. So it's really great to see that it's getting modernized. And I can only imagine how many times you've read it. And I mean, it's not like you just read the book, put it away, and you like look at it every once in a while. Like, this is becoming like your business. So like, I'm wondering what has had the strongest impact on you from Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich?
There's so much to it. Probably the biggest one for me was that the poverty conscience will automatically overtake any mind that is not preoccupied with being success conscious. And that sounds a bit weird, but the way I interpret that is that each and every day, if you do not make the decision to win, you have automatically made the decision to fail. So if we've got two people sitting in a room starting off their days, the first person wakes up and they check their mobile phone and they waste half an hour on social media or responding to emails, and then they complain about having to get up because their alarm has gone off, and they complain about traffic on the way to work and just spend their whole day complaining. But then you've got someone else who wakes up, they write down three things that they're grateful for, three things that they're going to do today, what actions they're going to take that are going to inch them closer towards their goals, and they live with gratitude, with purpose, and with intent, making the most of every minute. They get out of their comfort zone to do things and encourage their own growth. They surround themselves with people who align with their values and can teach them about success and help push them in the right direction. If you compare the difference in those two people after 1 month and 1 year and 5 years, that is the big difference. So every day, living with intent, making the decision to win because you've automatically made the decision to fail. That is what I took the most from the original Think and Grow Rich. But you could also pick up any page of the book. Literally open it at any page, yeah. And there is so much wisdom in there as well.
Yeah, like, just flip a page, and as you said, there's definitely going to be something there. And it's interesting that you've taken the approach to modernize it. And I mean, there are a lot of people who seem to possess those same characteristics where it is possible to modernize it. And I know you've interviewed over 100 people, like top entrepreneurs, business icons, athletes, as you mentioned before. And I'm wondering, what were some of the big things you learned during those interviews?
The biggest one is that they all have this unwavering self-belief. So the most important opinion on the planet is how we feel about ourselves. And so often today, especially in the world of social media and instant gratification, we're seeking opinions from other people, but being very, very clear about who we are and where we want to go, having that unwavering self-belief. All of these people had that. And in addition to these big names where we've got people like Grant Cardone, Barbara Corcoran, Rob Dyrdek. They thought so much bigger than their circumstances. Even when they were in very mediocre settings, they were able to think so large and invest so much time and money and resources and everything they had into that unwavering self-belief to get to that perfect destination for them. And they have never stopped. These people are not sitting on a couch with their feet up. Like Bob Proctor in his 80s is still going around doing all these seminars and helping positively impact the lives of tens of millions of people around the world. But then we've also got people like Janine Shepherd, who was a national ski champion of Australia. And she was hit by a truck and spent 10 days in a coma and wasn't expected to live. And then 6 months after she left the spinal ward, what she was able to do, she actually taught herself to walk again for the second time, became a pilot instructor, and an aerobatics pilot. She's a multiple-time best-selling author. She's got a TED Talk with 2 million views, a Goldcast video with 15 million views. She is an extraordinary story. We've also got people like Jim Stovall, who was diagnosed. He was told at the age of 17 that he was going to go totally and permanently blind just a few short years later, and he did, and he went on to write 30 best-selling books, and he hadn't written a single book before he was blind. So now all these people, when they tell me that they have excuses or what they explain to themselves as reasons as to why they can't do anything, it just means that they've fallen victim to limiting beliefs. They're not surrounding themselves with the right people. They're not clear on what they want, and they don't have the right plan to take daily action. But I suppose those, yeah, all those things that I just mentioned, that would be it. But an important point as well that I really want to try and get across with all this is that you do not need to be on a billboard in Hollywood for your life to be successful. You don't need 100 million Instagram followers for your life to be successful. As long as you're happy, fulfilled, you've got great relationships, you wouldn't have enough money to be able to contribute to your family and the causes that you care about. If that is your definition of success, if that's what being rich is to you, then no one else can tell you that's not the way to live your life.
And when you brought up those examples, it's like when you hear like the examples you gave were incredible. Like when you hear like, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of those types of stories, but when you hear one of them, it's like, what am I doing? Like your excuses like look like nothing when you hear of a story like that. So I'm really happy you shared with us all those stories. And again, I'm sure that you've had like so many other stories as well. And that self-belief, that is really critical. Like everyone who is successful has that level of belief in themselves.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a big point there as well, where too many people accept temporary failure as permanent defeat. So maybe you went through a marriage breakdown, or something happened with a business or a relationship or some type of financial hardship. If you go through the rest of your life with that chip on your shoulder, you're just going to turn into a bit of a sour person who complains about the world and blames everyone else. But if you look at that as try and find the gift in every moment, the gift in every hardship, and find a way to learn from it, that is what leads to extraordinary achievement over time. And another important point to emphasize is simple and consistent action. It's not doing one enormous action off the bat. It's taking enormous action around defining what you want. But once you have that very clear definition, it's applying simple and consistent action over time. That's what leads to extraordinary achievement.
And I, like, the action is really important. And like, as you take more action, it just becomes easier, and the snowball effect, it just piles on. But for that self-belief, not everyone has that level of belief. Some people look at the challenge and they're like, I can't do this. Like, there's some people who have that mindset, and even people who like have a strong sense of belief in themselves, like they look at this particular challenge and think I can't, or there are other people who really believe in themselves, but sometimes they get disconnected from that. So I'm wondering, how do we strengthen our belief in ourselves?
It's a good question. So it depends on what situation they're in. So some people have a huge limiting belief because they're feeling very, very stressed, because they've been running very, very hard on the treadmill of life, and their reaction is to run even harder. But that is not always the best thing to do. So I would try and take a step back, get out of that environment, and just try and focus on what's important to you and what actions that you can take each day. Get very, very clear on that perfect destination. Because an example I use during my speeches is, if I told you to drive to a town 200 miles over and you had never been to that town before, what would you do? What would be the first thing that you would do?
Give me a GPS.
Exactly right. You'd open your phone, you'd go to Waze or Google Maps, whatever it is, you'd type in the name of the town, which is your perfect destination, and it would spit out a step-by-step guide on how to get there in the most timely and efficient manner. Because once you have that perfect destination locked in, it is so much easier to take that first step and that second step and that third step. But there's so many people don't have that belief because they don't get their asses into doing something as simple as reading a book. And if someone tells me they won't read a book, I say, okay, listen to a book. And if they won't listen to a book, I say, all right, listen to a chapter or a page, or read a chapter or a page, or write out a success plan template. I inspire those people through stories. And that was a really important part of Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy, this new book that I have written. It's really a collection of stories as well as a blueprint, so people can see how all of these people were able to achieve success despite very mediocre backgrounds and in almost all cases, significant hardship as well, because we all have this hardship in our life. But if you sit there and you can't motivate yourself to read a book or you can't write down your goals, then I just don't even know how to help you. It's obvious that you can't help yourself. It's only when someone is accountable for their actions and excited about their future, and if they don't buy into these stories and they're not inspired by that, then at the end of the day, it's their life, and if they're choosing to waste it away, that's on them.
And there are some people who may argue like you should just step in and help that person, like especially if they're a friend and they're in that situation. But you are the average of the five people who you're with the most. So if you spend time with a downer who doesn't really feel that self-belief and you've tried, but they're still like, that affects you too. Like that's a drain on you. So in some cases, it may be necessary just like step back and just wait for someone to take action and develop it on their own.
It's a really good point. And yeah, too many people, they just hang around people who are exactly like them, where they don't get outside of their comfort zone to meet new people and expose themselves to new people and ideas and exciting opportunities. And it's being able to fall victim to negative people. You can't hang around negative people and expect a positive life. One of the easiest ways to be happy is to hang around happy people. One of the easiest ways to be healthy is to hang around healthy people. That has a really big impact on your life, hanging around negative people or people who stress you out or people who don't inspire you. So there is so much to that, but one of the best ways that you can inspire them is not by having a conversation with them, it's actually by you leading by example. And as they start to see you succeeding in life, they will reach a point where they either resent you or they'll give you a pat on the back and ask you how you did it. And that's when they're willing to accept your help as well. But on that journey of helping yourself, that really is your main obligation. Along the way, you can help so many people, but you can't spend all your time around negative people when you've got work to do on yourself and your own goals.
And that's a really good perspective to have where like, as you mentioned, like you want to be happy, hang out with happy people and don't hang out with the negative people. And for some people, that's a hard choice, especially if their friends are negative and they've bonded with those friends, but you just gotta be able to flip the page. And that's something that like, it's hard, but like once you do it, you feel so much better because hanging around with negative people is just one of those things that holds people back from achieving their goals. And I'm wondering if you know, like, based on like all the research you've done, what do you believe holds people back from their goals? Like the few things that hold them back the most? I know self-belief is one of them. Like, I don't want to talk about things we've already covered, but what do you believe holds people back?
Depends. There's statistics that say that people who write down their goals are 42% more likely to achieve them. So if you don't have that perfect destination in mind, then how are you going to get there? So a lot of people think they have goals because they've got them in their head somewhere. But if you're actually writing them down, you're checking in with those goals every morning and every night. And if at the end of each day you are not happy with the actions you have taken, you then calibrate your day accordingly. That is how you increasingly become more efficient, more productive, and inch closer to your goals over time. So if at the end of the day, you know, you had all these different goals of I was going to do an hour of study on this or whatever daily actions it might be. And if at the end of the day, during that reflection period, if you said I was too distracted because I kept getting hit up on social media. So something for me as a writer, if I'm in a good creative mode, but my phone beeps or I've got these notifications, it really just takes me out of that zone and I just respond to someone else's agenda for my day. So I have my notifications off, often put my phone on airplane mode to not get distracted. So if at the end of the day, you're not getting your blog post done or your study done or whatever it is that you need to do, think about why that is. Maybe it's because you wasted too much time having phone calls with people that lasted for 45 minutes that maybe could have lasted 10 minutes. Maybe you spent too much time on social media. You can really do an audit around these different things around how you spend your time. So, and you can apply that to when we talk about goals and winning the day, it's about every area of your life. It's not just on a monetary sense. So if you're eating crappy food, it's probably because you didn't make the time to go to the supermarket and you didn't take the time to do a proper meal prep. So it stands to reason at the end of the day or the end of the week, whenever you're reviewing and calibrating your success, you need to make sure you take the right steps for the next week, because we're always coming up with a bulletproof plan. It's an adaptable process that you learn from, and you grow and you fail, but you learn from your failures and be appreciative for the gift and the opportunity, and always keep moving forward and always keep living with intent.
I mean, like, a lot of these are productivity hacks and mindset development, but when you do value your time, like the way, like, turning off those notifications and, like, just showing to yourself, okay, I value my time, that's going to encourage you to put more into each minute that you have. So I really do like the insights that you shared. Just, like, just value your time and you'll get the good results. And, like, no matter how much we value our time and no matter how much we believe in ourselves, there are going to be certain challenges that come along the way. I mean, you and I, like, the listeners also, like, we all face a lot of challenges. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
There have been so many. Like, an example in my journey very recently was when they said, okay, write the new version of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It's like, well, who am I to be, I guess, anyone in a position, even Jeff Bezos might think, well, who am I to be writing a modern version of this book that has impacted so many people? Maybe Jeff Bezos was a bad example because he's done a lot. But in that situation, I just tried not to overthink. I tried not to overthink it, because in these situations, if we react to it, we can act impulsively and make the problem worse and get in your own head. But I tried to calmly think about what I needed to do today. What was that first step? So I thought about how I could respond to this big commitment that I had been given. So I just tried to focus one day at a time, one step at a time. And before you know it, I think it was 10 months later, I had the first draft of the manuscript done. And it was very, very difficult. And my now wife had to, you know, we had a lot of difficult times during that, where I was working 7 days a week of trying to get that done. And it's just it's a sacrifice that I had to make because it was a really important thing that I wanted to do in my life. So we had to make sure we communicated very, very clearly. It wasn't always easy. In fact, it was very, very difficult when my family, I live in LA now, but my family are all based in Australia, and my brother and sister all have a lot of young kids. So if I'm in a position where I just don't have half an hour to spend on a phone call, I really need to be focused for this whole year to get this done. Just needed to get very, very clear on that and focus. And if you really get in your own head and react, it's a very, very big difference to calmly thinking about the situation and responding.
And the level of intensity is I can see that being a challenge and also maintaining it. And you hear a lot of successful people also have that high level of intensity when they do pursue their work. So that's just one of the things that you do have to develop. And again, I can only imagine the amount of things you've learned from this journey, Think and Grow Rich. Like, the book alone, like, you've learned so much from all of us who have read it.
So much, yeah. And even little, like, it was always very important to me about my physical health. And everyone talks about balance. And balance is great long term, but it can be very, very difficult if you've got some very, very big aspirations to have balance in the short term when you know all the work that you need to do. So previously, I would easily allocate an hour out of my day to go, and I would always have my one coffee that I would have each day right before that gym session that I would do around lunchtime. But I had that. I kept that writing time first thing in the morning. So I would go and have a coffee and spend 3 hours writing. And by the end of that, I was absolutely drained. And I would walk into the gym and do an absolute fraction of the work that I wanted to do or what I would normally do. And it was disappointing, and I got very, very frustrated. And often I didn't even turn up. But that was a sacrifice as well that I had to make in pursuit of this greater good. So that was important for me. And a lot of people also don't understand the impact that their working and their living environment can have on them. If you're waking up and not making your bed, and you're leaving dishes and pots and pans in the sink, your place is a mess, how can you, if you look around and it doesn't inspire you, how can you expect to be achieving these goals? Like, make sure the very first thing that you do is make sure your living and your working environment inspires you to keep moving forward, no matter what happens in life. Just keep moving forward and taking those actions each day that will get you closer to your perfect destination.
And I love how you mentioned the environment, because that is a very critical part. Like the way you, the environment you're in definitely determines the type of person you become. And the better your environment, obviously, the more likely you are set to thrive. And one of the questions I do want to ask, and I'm hoping you don't include Think and Grow Rich in this answer, because we've been focusing on that and I get that book a lot, but what are three book recommendations you believe will have a positive impact on us?
Excellent question. Oh, there's so many. The first one would be the 5-Minute Journal. If you're not reading the 5-Minute Journal, or I say reading, but you're actually writing, you see a lot of very successful people. They talk about the power of journaling, but it's quite daunting for so many people to open up a blank page or, what is essentially a blank canvas and try and jot down what's in their head. But the 5-Minute Journal says that 2.5 minutes in the morning, what you do is you open the journal and you write down three things that you're grateful for and three things that would make today great. And then you write down a positive affirmation. So an example might be, I am calm and resilient, or I am happy and productive, whatever your affirmation wants to be. And then at the end of the day, you write down three amazing things that happened today and what you could have done to improve the day. It's so simple, only 5 minutes. So I would definitely check that one out. Oh, there are so many other books that I would recommend. There's an oldie but a goodie called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion by Dr. Robert Cialdini. That is where all the big marketing things come from. It talks about, I think it's 8 points around how you can get people's attention. And it's just a great thing for sales and marketing and networking. Apart from that, it really depends on people's goals, but things like Keith Ferrazzi's book, Never Eat Alone, is a great one for getting out of your comfort zone and wanting to meet new people. So I'll probably stick with those three. So the 5-Minute Journal, Influence the Psychology of Persuasion, and Never Eat Alone.
James, thank you for those great book recommendations. Those will be in the show notes, markgabrilla.com/E184. And for anyone interested in a book that can help them grow their business online and generate revenue and get more traffic to their content, you can get my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markgabrilla.com/book. That will also be in the show notes. And before we wrap up this episode, James, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question we need to be asking ourselves more often?
What do I need to do to win the day? Like, think about what you want. It's the very biggest question. Actually, probably a way to reframe that is to say, what is my definition of success? I think as soon as you get clear on what your definition of success is, and then you can take action towards it, the world will get out of your way to let you pass.
James, thank you for sharing that great question and for sharing all of your great insights throughout our time together. Breakthrough Success listeners, James's new book, Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy, is out now. It's also based on the film. And James is actually offering everyone a free download of a bonus chapter from the book. And that is available on his website. It will be in the show notes of this episode, markgabrilla.com/E184. But anyone who wants the link now, it's jameswhitt.com/free-chapter. Again, that link will be in the show notes. James, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
No worries at all, Mark. Thanks for having me.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn